Well, hey there, Darren Garman. How you doing? Welcome to this week's Paranoid Banker podcast. In following our theme for the month of October, I'm going to be sharing a story with you. And this week's story is about how I stole a book from the prison, or from a prison. I'm going to have some real good stories to actually follow up with this here later this month, as well as some other stories. And so, just to kind of recap, this month's podcasts are basically true stories, strange but true, I guess would probably be the best way to describe these stories. I get a lot of questions from investors, from partners on all sorts of things, and kind of, I guess, fitting in with the Halloween, the month of Halloween theme, and not that I'm going to be, you know, telling any ghost stories or anything scary or anything like that, but from the files of the strange but true, I'm going to be sharing with you some stories that I think will put a smile on your face, may even be a head scratcher for you here or there, and I think you'll be entertained by them. Hopefully you will. Because some of the things I'm going to mention this month with these stories, I think will be pretty entertaining. And so let's go ahead and jump into this week's story. And it has to do with a question I get quite often. And I've written about it. I used to write about it a lot a long time ago just to I guess more or less explain myself and kind of where I came from and how I actually got into the real estate business. So some of what I'm going to mention may be, for some of you, you may have actually heard it before, but I know the majority of you have not. And I think this story is not only, I think, entertaining in a lot of ways, I think it'll be instructive in a lot of ways too. That really goes to show you what can be done in a country like ours. And so, let's talk about this story, which is the book I stole from prison. And this is a true story. None of this is made up. None of this is fabricated. And it has to do with a book that I actually stole from prison. Now, some of you are probably saying to yourself, gee, Darren, I didn't know you were in prison. Really? So since when? You were in prison? Well, let me put many of your minds at ease and tell you no. I was not ever in prison, but I used to work in a prison, which many of you do not know. And so we're going to go ahead and turn the clock back to 1989, and I graduated from college with a Bachelor of Arts degree in criminology. And so at this point in my life, graduating from college, real estate was the furthest thing from my mind. I didn't think about real estate. The only thing I ever knew about any kind of real estate was I lived in an apartment not far from campus. That was basically my dealing with real estate. And so I didn't have any real estate thoughts in mind at the time. But what I had in mind was getting a job out of college in the world of criminology, criminal justice, right? So that was my degree. And so I'm now in search of a job. I didn't have one going when I got out of college. So what I ended up doing was I ended up working at Walmart, and my job was unloading trucks in the morning, the inventory trucks. So the big, you know, big semi-trailers pull up to the store, and I was one of the guys that basically unloaded the trucks from 6 in the morning until about 2:30 in the afternoon. By the way, as like an aside here, if you're ever in a crunch to lose weight or get in shape, you've got that 25-30-year class reunion coming up. You're going on spring break somewhere. You know, you got to get in shape. You got to look good, and you don't have much time to do it. I'm going to make a recommendation to you. Go to Walmart. Tell them you want to unload trucks. specifically when it's hot out. And you will drop weight pretty darn fast, and it will just basically melt off of you. Aside from being very, very sore most of the time, which, you know, is just a little side effect, you'll look great for that upcoming class reunion. So just, you know, get in touch with Walmart, and heck, they'll even pay you to do that. And so yeah, that's what I ended up doing while I'm out searching for a job. And so I was naive enough when I graduated to think that because I've got this college degree, I could just go out there and really enter into most any job I thought would be one that I would like, right? So in other words, in my mind, there was no starting at the bottom of the ladder. Since I had this college degree, I could pretty much jump on the ladder about halfway up if I wanted to. Well, I quickly found out that was not the case. And so I quickly go from thinking I'm going to be getting one of these very high-level FBI, CIA, CSI TV kind of jobs to trying to get on at any kind of any police department in the state of Iowa, highway patrol, county sheriff, you name it. Heck, I even applied for federal jobs like the Border Patrol, Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms. Heck, I even applied to the CIA. And so I'm all over the place trying to get my foot in the door and get my career started somewhere, needed to, in the world of criminology. And so finally, after a whole summer of driving around the state of Iowa in a broken down car where the air conditioning didn't work. By the way, I would have to drive to these interviews just in shorts and then find a bathroom at a convenience store to actually change clothes to show up, because I couldn't drive in the clothes because they'd be soaking wet by the time I got there because we had no air conditioning in the car. So after a summer of doing this and driving all over the state, and heck, even Missouri and Nebraska too, I finally got a call, a third interview, called back for a police officer position in a town in Iowa called Ankeny. And Ankeny, if you know where Des Moines is, which is the state capital, Des Moines is about the center of the state, and Ankeny is not far from Des Moines at all. So I'm called back. And so that's basically code, by the way, for, yeah, you're pretty much hired if you don't screw this up, right? So I go there, have an interview, it went fine, took a polygraph test, that goes good. And then I had a few more vision battery tests I had to take. Some with glasses on. I wear glasses. I have poor vision, but you know, I have corrective lenses, so I'm fine. Some with glasses, some without. And then they get into color blindness testing, okay? And I failed, totally. I failed the colorblind test miserably. And so since I failed the colorblindness test, they did not hire me. And so the ironic thing is I travel the whole state all summer, probably putting, I don't know, 10,000 miles on the car and taking every police officer, county sheriff, highway patrol exam you can imagine. And the whole time I probably never would have been hired because I've got a really bad color blindness issue. And not very many law enforcement agencies anywhere are going to hire anybody that has a color blindness issue. You know, you got to tell the difference between a red getaway car and a green getaway car, right? So that didn't work. So now what the hell do I do, right? What do I do? So in desperation, I go to a place in most of the larger Iowa cities. At this time, it was called Job Service of Iowa. So you'd go to Job Service of Iowa if you were down on your luck, you can't find anything, nobody's hiring, you've tried everything, but you just can't find a job. Okay, if you're at that point, you go to Job Service of Iowa. So guess where I'm at? That's right. I'm 22 years old, and I'm at Job Service of Iowa. Okay. And so at Job Service of Iowa, they have jobs posted. So I'm looking at the jobs and seeing if there's, gosh, is there just anything I can do? And, well, there was one posting that really, really caught my interest. And it was a posting for a correctional officer slash prison guard. The job was with the state of Iowa, working in one of their prisons. You know, the pay was not great, but it was okay, better than what I was making at Walmart. There were some benefits, and the two main things here were, number one, it was in my field, it was in criminology. You can't get more criminology, criminal justice than working in a prison, by the way. So so that was good. Number two was they didn't care if I had a color blindness problem. Didn't care. So I applied, I interviewed, I get the job as a prison guard. So I'm working at the prison. So that's how the prison got into this. That's where I basically started. So my first real job out of college was working at a prison. And it was a prison which is still existing in Anamosa, Iowa, called the Iowa Men's Reformatory. And so I worked there for about 4 years. And interesting things happened while I started working there. I started getting real interested in investing, mainly now because I was actually making some money. I wasn't being paid minimum wage anymore. And so I had some, you know, some money left over. So where do I want to invest it? And so one of the areas I really started looking at seriously was real estate. I spent a lot of time reading real estate books, looking at real estate publications, digging up as much information on real estate as I could, because I thought, you know, if I could be a landlord and own a bunch of real estate properties, that would be a pretty good thing. Of course, I had no background in real estate or finance. I had no idea what it was like to talk to a lender or a banker. Had no idea what a landlord would have to go through and be involved in order to be successful. So I had no idea about any of this. I just thought, you know, real estate would be real interesting and I'd like to get involved in it someday. Well, the more that time went on and the more time I worked at the prison, the less interested I became in the field of criminology and criminal justice, the less interested I became in working, working at the prison, and the more interested I became in real estate. And this happened over a period, again, of about 4 years. And so then D-Day came. And D-Day for me, it was actually a good thing. And D-Day has everything to do with the point of my story, which was the headline of the headline / title of this podcast, which is the book I stole from prison. And so one day I get a call from the warden's office that they wanted to talk to me. Okay, so I go down and I meet with, not with the warden, but with the assistant warden. And I was told that there was an empty liquor bottle found outside of my office in the prison, and they wanted to know what I knew about it. And so, of course, I knew nothing about it. I didn't bring any liquor into the prison. Of course, just as kind of a side note, you know, liquor is contraband, so you can't bring it into prison. Obviously, but someone did, and inmates got a hold of it, and they decided to, for whatever reason, dump the bottle in a garbage can outside my office. So there it is, and so now the security folks think I must have had something to do with this. Of course, I didn't, and so, you know, I basically sat there for 15 minutes and said that I knew nothing about it. And once I was done, I figured that was it. I mean, I was telling the truth and figured now we're done. Well, for the next week, I'm interviewed on and off by different people asking me basically the same damn thing. And I got sick and tired of it. I actually got pissed off about it. I was mad about it. And was really, really upset by it. Because they were really working hard to see if they could really get me to admit that I had something to do with it. They had nothing to do with it. And so, finally, after about a week, I was called to the warden's office, this time to talk to the warden. And as I'm waiting outside the warden's office, there is a bookshelf there outside the warden's office, of course, full of books. And one of the books that's there is a book with the title Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill. Interesting title to a book. Sounds kind of interesting. So as I'm waiting there, I grab the book, open it up, and just kind of start reading. So I've read it. I'm reading. I'm into it maybe like 5-10 minutes. Get called into the warden's office, have a meeting with the warden, and all that was basically said was, thanks for working with us on this. Appreciate your time and your patience. You know, we don't think you had anything to do with it. We didn't find any evidence that that was the case. So thanks again. See you. Bye. That was basically what was said in that meeting. So as I left his office and walked outside the door, I made a point to grab this book. So grab the book. Not only did I take it to my office and spend a little time, a little work time, admittedly, reading it, I took it home. And I had it read in about a week. After I read that book, I made the decision that I'm going to quit my prison guard job and I'm going to jump in the world of real estate. And it wouldn't be right away. It wouldn't be I'm going to read the book on Thursday and quit my job on Friday. But I'm going to quit here in the very, very near future. So this would have been late 1993. By early mid-1994, I quit my job working for the Department of Corrections, and I jumped into the real estate business full-time, not knowing what the hell I was doing. The only thing I did, and the main reason why there was a big gap, and I guess not a big gap, but a gap between 93 and 94, was because I wanted to get my real estate license first. I thought that was important. So it took me a few months to get my real estate license, and I finally did. And then that's when I decided I'm jumping into this full time. Okay. And so, you know, you fast forward to today, and here you've got a guy that used to work in a prison as a prison guard, searching inmates, shaking down inmates. I was also in charge of the inmate leisure time activities, which meant prison JCs, prison Alcoholics Anonymous, a bunch of other ones, and I got other great stories related to that. But I'll go there. I'll go. You know, that's a whole different ball game. I'll get back to that later. But here you've got a guy that used to work in the prison, had no formal training in the world of real estate, finance, and you fast forward to today, and I've been involved in well over $600 million worth of real estate transactions. I manage almost $40 million in real estate portfolios. I've owned a bank, partial owner, by the way. I helped start one, and I owned a bank for a while, and I'm probably one of the more sought-after go-to guys when it comes to investment real estate, specifically multifamily properties, not only in the Midwest, but in the U.S. And so I'm not telling you those last few items to pat myself on the back and say, gee whiz, look what I've done. But in a way, something that's kind of interesting here is what really started all this. Well, you know, me thinking that I might want to be better at investing is what started it. But what really pushed me over the cliff was a book I found outside of the warden's office in a prison. What are the odds of that? What are the odds of that? And here, and you can even make the argument that one of the best things to ever happen to me was for me to be accused of stealing or bringing liquor into the prison. Even though I was pissed and frustrated and angry and resentful because I had nothing to do with it. If I wouldn't have gone through that, I probably wouldn't have noticed the book. And I probably wouldn't be talking to you on this podcast today if you really want to really dissect it. And so I guess I'm going to finish this story by just saying just a few quick things. First of all, number one, I wanted to share this again because I get lots of questions about my background, and people hear things. And I heard you might have worked in a prison, or I heard you were in criminal justice once. And so I wanted to kind of give you an accurate idea of kind of my background as it relates to where I am today, and you know, with many of you dealing with me. So that's number one. Number two, the power of one book is pretty amazing if you think about it. And that's all it really takes is one book. And I'm not a commercial for reading, or you know, go out and buy a book today. I mean, nothing like that. But I mean, I recommend it, obviously. But the power of one book, it's amazing what it can do, especially over time. And then the third thing is, you know, in the country that we live in, it is absolutely amazing what somebody can accomplish if they really, really, really want to. It really is. Because when I quit my job at the prison, I was married, and I had a six-month-old daughter, and not a lot of money coming in. Fortunately, thank God, my wife, Gina, was working at the time as a social worker. She wasn't making a lot of money, but she was making enough where we could at least pay most of the bills, right? And so I made the decision, and I had her support. Thank God, that's important too, by the way, that I would rather quit this job, jump into this, and give it every ounce of effort that I can and fail. I'd rather do that then stay in the job I didn't like and do the things I didn't really want to do and always wonder what if. And I think that what I just described is applicable to a heck of a lot of things, not just the one that I mentioned about getting into the real estate business. Okay. And so, yeah, so this podcast, I kind of pull the curtain back a little bit, right? Give you a little view of my background, a little history of Darren Garman, kind of setting the record straight, so to speak, on this prison stuff and my background and working in a prison and the Think and Grow Rich book and the effect that that had. And here I am today, you know, talking to you on a podcast and you're listening to it. Amazing if you think about it. And so I hope that you've enjoyed this week's story. Next week, stay tuned for my story about the Dallas Cowboy cheerleaders. Okay? The Dallas Cowboy cheerleaders and their trip to the prison in Anamosa when I worked there. Stay tuned. You're going to love that story. Oh, and by the way, if you have any comments, suggestions, thoughts regarding any of the stories or any of the information, you know, fire them at me. Let me hear from you. I would love to hear from you, get your comments and your views and your thoughts. I think it would be great. All right, look, you have a great day. Have a great rest of your week and your weekend, by the way. And I will be talking to you very, very soon. All right, take care, everybody. We'll see you. Bye-bye.